Turn your Bibles, will, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. As we, Brother Mark said it this morning, and it's certainly something that I can adopt. He was telling about his study of Moses that it wasn't exhaustive. Well, in this study about being a servant of the Lord, I'm looking to be exhaustive, but I hope you're not exhausted. So there is an effect there. I pray that that's not the case. But we're just what we want to do, it's like the Lord works in the Scriptures. There's facets and pieces and parts of every subject that's at hand. And we need the whole counsel of the Lord to be able to see the full picture of any particular subject. And when the Lord laid such on my heart, and to the extent that He does, that's what I look to do, is that we might understand how important it is, the aspects and pieces and parts of it, and that the Lord would help us, that we would take these to heart and to our lives and understand fully about it. And you and I know that the way it is with us, and of course what we that are saved, the Spirit of God teaches us and works in us too as we go along through time. You and I have always come to places where we said, I never heard it like that before. And by that, we understand it. We add it to our understanding and to our knowledge. And that's, I believe that's the way the Lord works with us in the Scripture, too. And so I hope you're not exhausted. But I do want to consider in total what the Lord says about service. In our day, I'm afraid that we understand about worship, but understanding about service, there's confusion about that, and believing that worship is all of service. But, well, there is an element of service in worship. But service is really, in great part, what you and I are doing where we're not here in worship services. That's our service. Monday through Saturday and all the times in between the worship services. And as we've seen, worship is, of course, in the congregational meeting together in the Lord's church that He's called us into in our day. Personal worship that we're to be about in our individual lives, and then this of our personal service. We serve together as a church, indeed, in the things that we do, but that all stems from what we all do personally. Also, service of the Lord is personal, and so I think that's important for us to see. Here in Philippians chapter 2, last time in the first 11 verses, we saw here about how the Lord brings to us, the apostle brings to this church at Philippi, there in Macedonia, about how to be a servant like Christ Jesus. And from that, in verse number 12, he continues on. And in this message, we are heading towards verse number 17. There's a hallmark passage that is in here that is known by us. It's a passage that stands out, and we want to deal with that. But he says here in verse number 17 of Philippians chapter 2, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." And so we're heading towards that verse. Let's back up to verse number 12, where he says, and the Scripture says, "Wherefore?" And so understanding this about our Lord Jesus Christ and being how to be a servant like Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, became obedient to the death of the cross, made himself of no reputation, all those things that Christ Jesus did for us, who had a mind bent towards the will and work and purpose of God, the Word of God, as it says in verse 5 of this chapter, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to think and purpose and move like Him. "Wherefore," verse number 12, "my beloved," He loves them, as we've seen there at Corinth. He loves that church. He loves the brothers and sisters of this church. We know our Lord loves us. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And this is that verse that I referred to about working out our salvation. It's a passage that's known by us, and it's distinct, and it's there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Looking at what Jesus did, you and I, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now understand that work out, quote unquote, the words work out, does not mean to figure out. Because we've been saved by our Lord. But now, having been saved, let us move forward. Let us work towards what our Lord has saved us and called us into. It's like the Lord tells us in Luke 11:33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. You don't light a candle. If the lights went out, if it was nighttime, I wouldn't light a candle and then put it in the pulpit, would I? Well, we that are saved, that's not the design for our light in Christ to be hid. Neither under a bushel. You don't put it under a bushel basket to hide the light, but on a candlestick. And we understand that and take that as the Lord telling about his church and the working in his institution, the church, that they which come in may see the light. We are to shine for our Lord. Our Lord shone for us, didn't he, in that sense? He did what he did for us. We are to shine for the Lord. I think also in Matthew 5, there on the Sermon on the Mount, verses 15 through 16, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In Matthew 5, verse 15, the Lord says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Our salvation that has been wrought in our souls and in our hearts by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the conviction of the Lord and his coming to us and showing us our sin, showing us Christ and giving us faith to believe in him, that is to work out of us. That is to show forth and to shine forth. Let your light so shine before men, there in Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works. His salvation wrought within us is to bring forth works, fruit, glorifying to the one that has saved us. Like Jesus was obedient to the Father in every way, so you and I are to be so. We are to be so too. When what's it say? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. To glorify him. To be used of the Lord. To be a messenger of the truth. For his sake and unto sinners that are in need. Brother Mark brought out in his Sunday school lesson about the long-suffering of the Lord. The Lord is long-suffering. He was even long-suffering to Pharaoh, wasn't he? He was. To the Egyptian people. We've studied about that. I can't help but think about it, how it is with Egypt. It's an interesting thing that the Lord's going to do with Egypt in the millennium. We would think that Egypt would be just like done for and over and just kaput. But it's not so with Egypt. The Lord is going to do a wondrous, blessed thing with Egypt. He's used Egypt much in the bringing of salvation unto us and just birthing of his nation, the calling of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, if my memory serves me right, out of Egypt, and then our Lord Jesus out of Egypt. Egypt is significant, not of anything of itself, but the Lord used Egypt, and Egypt is indeed a type and a representation of sin. Glorification of the Lord. Work it out. Work out your own salvation. We're not called to work out another's salvation. I don't have to be. I may very well have concern about my brother and sister in Christ to pray for them, be a help to them, be an encouragement to them, and I should be. We should be. But the thing is, I can't know what you're supposed to do, other than what the Word of God tells us all to do. I need to work out my own salvation. It says here, own salvation. You've been saved. What is it that thou would have me to do, Lord? Here am I. Send me. What is it that you want? What should we do? Remember how those folks that were saved came to John the Baptist and said, what do we do? And he told different ones of them different things, didn't he? Work it out. with fear and trembling. Yeah, there's an accountability, as we've seen in Wednesday nights, about the judgment to come for the children of God, the judgment seat of Christ. Our Lord does watch us, and He does chasten us when we disobey. And He does speak to us and lead us in what we should do. And we're gonna, the scriptural, and we'll talk about that here in a minute more. But fear and trembling. Our Lord is a consuming fire. Yet He's loving and He's gracious and merciful unto us. Wherefore, because of what we see in Christ, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, another hallmark verse. For, or because, it is God which worketh both to will and to do of His good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is. That's true, isn't it? That's true. Now, does that mean that everything that I will and everything that I do is God's good pleasure? No, not if I talk to you bad or come steal your stuff or kick you in the knee. It's not God's will for me to be abusive to you. So understand, this is, we've been saved. That is God's work. We've been blessed to be in the Lord's church. That's God's work. We've been given the Word of God. That's God's work in us. He's called us. He saved us. He has worked in us. He says, for or because. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because God has worked in you. How is this so? Well, by the Holy Spirit of God within, isn't it? It is the Holy Spirit in us that is the source of the to will and to do. Okay? We don't have it of our own. But the thing is it can be that we can be guilty, say, well, I failed in this. It must be God's will. Watch out. Watch out. God's knowledge and God's purpose and will, two different zip codes, two different things. Anything that good that comes of us is because of the Spirit of God that lives within. To will and to do. We are the Lord's. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. It's just another way of saying the same kind of thing. But it's not a carte blanche excuse when you and I fail or when we don't do the things. Because see, here again, we're found old man and new man strapped up together and the fight is on. The wrestling is on. Because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How? By the Spirit of God that lives within. Yet remember, brothers and sisters, the Scripture also declares, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. That means I can. That means you can. Quench the Spirit. It is God's will. Is it God's good pleasure and will to quench the Spirit? Never. It's not God's will. God does not work against Himself. Now understand, remember again, by my failure, is God ever thwarted? Never. He's never thwarted. There is no combination of events. There's no combination of my disobedience, willfulness, presumption that ever thwarts the Lord. Never. He will not be thwarted ever. He can take and blast through a thing and work it for His honor and His glory. Remember in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can grieve the Spirit, can we? So, yes, He says here, wherefore, having looked at Christ and understand the kind of servant that He is, work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Bring it out. Shine for the Lord. Because God has worked in you for every good thing. So what's that bring us to? What is the children of God? I ought to be praying that the Lord would help me, huh? that the Lord would help me, that the Lord would deliver me from temptation, that the Lord would fill me with His Word and His Spirit, that I would avail myself to the things that the Lord has blessed. Once again, the old man and the new man are made evident by the Scriptures. They are at hand. We have a battle and a warfare on our hands, and I'm sorry. I don't apologize for it. I know this has been indeed been a theme that has come through in the messages on many, many fronts, but it's so, and we need to get a handle and know that this is the case. And not I'm not accusatory in this, but may we not live in oblivion to what's going on. May we not lay things on the Lord that are not His, and may we pick up what we have been given and move forward for the sake of our Lord. Work it out. Work it out. Not figure it out, but work it out. Shine for our Lord. Because it is the old man which worketh in you both to not will and not do of His good pleasure. True? The Spirit of God says, we're going to do this. The old man says this, and Brother Paul in Romans 7 says, I'm in a strait. I'm a wretched man. I want to, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. And it's not an excuse, it's an understanding. Lord, Father, help me. Help me to put this old man down. Help me to put this old mind down. Help me to follow You and be filled with what You want me to do. Verse 14, Philippians 2:14. Here is some instruction about Spirit quenching and Spirit grieving, if you will. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And I've got a real problem with that, because I like to murmur. I feel I'm justified to murmur. I feel it's okay to murmur. After all, my situation is different than anything else anybody else is going through. The thing is, it's nothing like what the Lord Jesus went through to redeem me, to redeem you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. All fussing, complaining. I'm not talking about you this morning. I'm talking about me. Because those things grieve the Spirit. Those things don't shine too good forward, do they? Somebody without Christ hears me doing so. Why would I want what Jim's got? All he does is murmur and fuss. May the Lord forgive me. May the Lord help us. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, helpful, a light for the good way that is the Lord. Amen? That it might be seen in us that we've been touched and changed and blessed by the Lord and being rescued by Him, and that we would be a witness that you need this too. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Every generation is sensitive to the affairs and the things that transpire in their own generation. But I tell you what, crooked and perverse nation really just tells it for us, doesn't it, in our day? I mean, it is upside down. This gubernatorial race, I'm praying that the truth will come out. That's what needs to come out, that it be loyal to the system that we have, and that the Lord might be pleased, maybe in some way, to be merciful to us. Truth. That's what we all need, is truth. We don't deserve righteous leadership, or a leadership that has a semblance and a pursuit of just things that make sense, for lack of a better way of saying it. Not destructive things. We don't deserve that, but I tell you what, we need to pray that the Lord would give it unto us. Pray that He would be long-suffering to us and our children, our generation at this time. He said, we're to shine in this rottenness that's at hand. And not be a murmurer and a disputer like those of the world. And Brother Mark, he pointed to Romans chapter 1 and all the nasty stuff of that men turning away from God, being given over by the Lord. We're to shine in the midst of all that. Shine the truth and the help and the hope and the blessing of salvation into a lost and dying world. That ye may be blameless and harmless, helpful, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Without rebuke. To not be a child that needs to be got on by my heavenly Father, but to be a child that's obedient and shining forth of the good things that are found in Him. That's how we can be pleasing and be on track in the mission that our Lord's given us. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, the Bible, the Scripture, holding that forth. Not opinion, but what God says. Thus saith the Lord, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. There's going to be a day we're going to be there with the Lord. Rejoicing in the day of Christ. Rejoicing at the day of the Lord's return. The Lord's good blessings upon us and our pursuit and obedience, our laying up treasure in heaven as His children, as a church, being obedient to Him in the ministry, and those things that have been glorifying to Him and honoring to Him over the time of this church and over our time of our lives, that when we're there in glory, we rejoice with the Lord in what He used us to do. Because there won't be any rejoicing and any glory over murmuring and disputing and over what the old man wants to do and what the flesh wants to do. It'll only be that rejoicing over what the Lord has given us to do. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We'll be there all together. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He speaks this from the perspective of the minister. My labor wasn't in vain. I witnessed, I told you of Christ, you believe, the Lord saved. I ministered to you of the things of the Lord in service as a child of God, as a member of one of His churches, and you received it, and you pursued it, and you obeyed our Lord in it. And it is a blessing and rejoicing indeed. Verse 17, our target verse. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service, two things. If I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. We see here this word offered. Pardon me. We talk about an offering. The picture that we see in the Old Testament is a lamb or a bullock or pigeons or such as that, dressed and put in order and the things added to it and laid upon the altar. Some of it cooked and some of it eaten by the priest, some of it just totally consumed. The apostle saying, if me and my life is used and offered up, used up, for the sake of your faith, I joy. There's no better way to give one's life. There's no better effort and work to give one's life unto. If I be offered upon the sacrifice of your faith, I joy. And rejoice with you all. Because, right, those that are delivered rejoice with the Lord's working and the ministry that has been extended to them by the Lord, the ones that the Lord used to bring into them, carrying the message. The beautiful feet that the Scripture talks about the minister that brings the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministers that are sent, don't forget, sent by the Lord to do so. Amen? Sent with that message. And he was sent unto them, and the Lord gave him the gospel and the word to preach unto them and made it effectual, and they were saved. He said, if I'm used up for that, you being brought to salvation as you have been, I joy. I joy. That's being like Christ is. That's being like Him. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, or I be offered upon the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Here we see this aspect of not salvation, but going forward in faithfulness for the rest of the time that we have, like Brother Peter says. their service. If my life has got to be used up to instruct you, to endure afflictions, to come to you, to teach you, to bring forth you how the Lord would have you to serve and walk as His children, as I'm doing now in this epistle, I joy. There's no greater calling. There's no greater use of my life. Yea, and if I be offered, if I be used up and sacrificed upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if I'm the one that is to be used up for you to believe and for you to serve, I joy and rejoice with you all. Sacrifice, they coming to Christ by Paul's ministry and witness, service, their faithfulness to their Lord Jesus by Paul's ministry and witness indeed. Verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He said, it's just an added note there, and rejoice with you all, there in verse number 17. Fellowship in the gospel. To the unsaved or the unfaithful, even though they might be saved, there's a fellowship when the redeemed, when those that are saved that get together, there's fellowship there in there. An immediate kinship that's known and realized by the Lord, having the same Heavenly Father, having the same Savior, having been rescued as we have been. But then, you know how it is? We just had a monthly fellowship meeting on Friday, and it was a blessed time. I wasn't able to go because of the way I was feeling. Clarissa and I didn't go, but we watched it online. Those are good times together, aren't they? We enjoy those good times together as a church and that fellowship of the gospel that we have here and the workings and the service that we have in the church. We have that fellowship also with our brothers and sisters in Christ and sister churches when we come together. But somebody that's not saved or somebody that's not in one of the Lord's churches, if you're not in one of the Lord's churches, it's hard to have fellowship on that line, isn't it? It's hard to have, you just can't, if one's saved, and in the Lord's church, and one saved not in the church, you just can't have that joy and that fellowship on a church plane, if you will. But when we do, we have it, and it's a blessing of our Lord. Blessing of our Lord. Again, how to be a servant like Christ Jesus. How to be offered in our pursuit to be offered in the sacrifice and service of the faith of others. In conclusion and application, in this same chapter, we have an example of Epaphroditus. In verse number 22, he says, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me with me in the gospel. Epaphroditus was right there with Paul and what needed to be done in the time that and his engagement to him, whatever the apostle wanted him to do, whether it was being near or sent abroad. Epaphroditus was willing and used up. We see more about that in verse number 30 of this chapter. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto physical death. For the sake of pursuing the work of Christ, Epaphroditus had a point that he was near to dying, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. He's not beating up the church. Paul's not beating up the church at Philippi, but he's letting know an example about this man and his dedication to the work, to the sacrifice, to the faith and service of the saints. And may the Lord help us that we would do so too. As the Lord Jesus tells us in Mark 10, verse number 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In Mark chapter 8, in previous chapter there, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. And then in Mark 10, chapter 29, or verse number 29, Mark 10, 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. May the Lord help us in this, that we would understand about our service unto the Lord, and that we would be obedient to the giving of self for the sake of the service of our Lord Jesus. It's the time of laying up treasure in heaven. It's the time of faithfulness. It's the time, as the Lord Jesus says, to work. To you that are here and not saved, understand, you're not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a servant of self, servant of sin, servant of the world system, servant of the pleasure and desire of the flesh. There's no future in that service. And we don't say that to you to be mean, but it's just the plain truth. There's no future in that service. We hold to you and present to you and hold before you the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior that you need. Repent and believe and trust in Him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in servitude that the yoke that you have is heavy and is burdensome and will kill you. But he says about his yoke for his children that it's easy and it's light. And it's an eternal blessing indeed. We point you to him. He's the Savior that you need.